So get your handbook out, if you will, and I'm going to ask you to take notes on what I'm going to teach you today. We have a wide range of age here. How many of you are 12 or 13? Raise your hand. 2, 4, 5, 6, 8. Okay, about a quarter of our crowd. How many of you are 14, 15, or 16? Raise your hand. 2, 4, 5. Okay, probably about 50%. How many of you are 17 or 18? Okay, 5 or 6 of you. Good. We have a wide variety here of ages, and you younger ones, you may not be able to take these principles and use them as early in your life or as soon in your life as some of the older ones will, but you can make commitments to these principles now. Did you hear me, young people, 12, 13, 14-year-olds? The principles I'm going to teach you today are principles that will affect your second most important decision in life. And while some of you are getting closer to that decision and it's coming sooner, others of you are many, many, many years away from that. But all of you can make commitments to follow God's principles in these areas. And so I'm not going to harp today. There are two different directions we could go on this. One is the area of purity. I preach messages on purity before here at camp. That is not the direction I'm taking this morning. This morning I'm going to take the direction and answer 5 questions for you on obtaining a life mate. I'm going to answer 5 questions. I want you to write the 5 questions down, and then I'm going to give you principles under each question. 3 years ago, I was out hunting. We'll start with a hunting story. That's a good way to start a boys' session with. How many of you do hunt? Raise your hand. All right, number of you. For those of you that have not been out hunting, hunting is a man's sport. It's fun. It's fun to go out and go through the woods and work through briars and set up your tree stand and scout and see where the deer are traveling and look for buck rubs, and then to get out there on the first day and get out there early in the morning while it's dark, walking in the woods, getting lost. And then you get to your tree stand and you're waiting for that deer to come by. Well, I have been hunting since I was 17 years old. 3 years ago, I had the opportunity to shoot my first deer. Just three years ago. Now, some of our guys at our church have shot many deer. Jonathan shot a turkey, right? Have you shot a deer? No. How many deer have you shot? He can't count that high. 10? 5 or 6? How old are you? 13 years old, he shot 5 or 6 deer already. That's not right. Anyways, 3 years ago, I was sitting in my tree stand. It was coming into the late afternoon. The tree was behind me. My stand was facing this way. And I heard deer behind me to my back left shoulder. 4 of them come and stop. And they're about at 40 yards where those chairs are over there. They're in that direction. And so I just peeped around the tree, got one in my sights, a lot of brush, couldn't see the deer. And as I shot that bullet, they didn't hardly move. So I loaded another one quick just to make sure I got a deer and shot it again. And as you're supposed to wait after you shoot, I waited for about 20 minutes and I thought, man, I got my first deer. That deer's laying over there. Sure enough, I went over there and that deer didn't travel 10 yards and it dropped. I was all excited. Then I walked up to the deer and I flipped its head over and it was a 2-point buck. Problem, I don't have a license for a 2-point buck. I have a license for a buck that has 3 horns on one side and I have a doe license. But I don't have a license for a 2-point buck. I just shot an illegal deer. I was sitting in my tree stand very excited. I thought I shot a doe. I didn't see his horns in the brush. I thought, well, at least I got a doe. I went there, and in a matter of 5 minutes, my heart changed from bubbling over with excitement and joy to saying, oh, no. At that point, I had a choice to make. I could cut the horns off, have somebody slaughter it that I know and keep the meat, or I could be honest. Need to be honest. What I have to do? I have to go meet the gaming commission before three men and explain my story, be charged a minimum of $25 with a possible fine of up to $250 the same night. This deer's hanging out in my backyard, and I'm thinking, I'm not only not going to get to keep that deer, I'm going to have to pay for that deer. What a mess. See, fact of the matter is, I didn't get the right one. And it was painful. But hear me. If you don't get the right one in life, it won't be a one-day scenario where you'll face pain. It'll be for the rest of your life. I could take you to a relative of mine today. The relative of mine met his wife in a bar. They were married for 2 years and divorced. She ended up dying from drug abuse just 25 years old. I could take you to somebody else that I know, got married, it didn't last for 3 months. Ended in divorce. Now, gentlemen, the biggest decision in life you know for sure is to be saved. Your eternal destiny as far as where you're going at the end of this life and beginning a relationship with God is decision numero uno in your life. Number one. But your second most important decision in life is the person that someday you're going to marry. It's going to affect every aspect of your life. I can tell you, I got the right one, baby. I got a virtuous woman. I got a woman that my heart doth safely trust in her. And that's the kind of gal that you want. But you say, how do I get there? Your starting point is very important to your ending point. Write this down. In this particular decision of your life, your starting point is very important to your ending point. Now let me give you an illustration here, okay? Let's say that you guys were out on the go-karting yesterday, and let's take Kyle, and let's say that Kyle had a go-kart that had no acceleration, okay? And beyond that, he hit the brake pedal when they said go instead of the start pedal. He has started off behind everybody else. It's going to be very difficult for him to catch up and even win the race, pass people and so on, because he started wrong. Let's take school, for instance. Take Justin Grimes, just graduated, and I believe he got honor roll the last semester of his senior year. But let's take Justin. Let's say that his first quarter in the new year, Justin got D's and F's in all of his subjects. Just the first quarter. Do you think that's going to affect his end grades? Oh, very much so. Very much so, because he started wrong. He started wrong. Your starting point in this area is going to affect your end point. Can I tell you my starting point? Scariest moment of my life. Scariest time of my life as I look back at it. 16 years old, I believe. Met this redhead girl. 16 years old. I wasn't ready to meet any girl. I was a bonehead. I was simple. I didn't understand the big picture. And she stroked my ego. And she told me how great I was. Man, you played better than everybody on the basketball court. Of course, I didn't score any points. But you played better than everybody on the basketball court. And you know what? My parents fought battle on their knees and fought a war with me with that gal, and I'm thankful that they did, because she would have ruined my life. She was not the type of woman that the Bible states that I should have been looking for. And secondly, I wasn't ready for her. At 16 years old, I wasn't ready for a relationship with a young lady. I didn't have enough wisdom. I didn't have enough understanding. I had no idea where it was going. I wasn't ready. I got a letter from her one day. It was this is what was written in it. I sure would like to hold your hand sometime. I don't do that. Why don't you do that? And I'm thankful I never touched that gal. And I'm thankful God preserved me. But listen, young people, Satan had a snare for me. And if that relationship would have went anywhere, my life would be extremely miserable today. And I guarantee you I would not be in the ministry and I would not be serving God and I would not be in church. But at the time, it looked wonderful. Now listen, I want to help you today because I want to give you some principles. And fathers, you may want to take some notes on this because I believe that these principles are not being taught in our homes. And that's why we have so many young men that are going about this thing and they have no idea how to go about it. And they get into relationships that are immature and they're not ready for it. And it leads to impurity and it leads to problems in their life. And it will lead to a ruined home someday, gentlemen. And I don't want that for you. I want you to have what I have. I don't have a perfect home. But I have a wonderful relationship with my wife. I have a wonderful family. When I walk in my home is my heaven. I mean, there's peace. I mean, there's not people yelling at each other. I mean, there's love. There's affection that's shown one to another. I mean, we sit around and pray together over our meals. We sit around the Bible in the evenings and we walk through the scriptures together. We learn together. Gentlemen, you can't have that and get the wrong kind of mate. And so, write these questions down because these questions affect this decision. Starting right is important to your end point. Number one, what kind of person are you? What kind of person are you? You've heard this phrase before, maybe. Birds of a feather do what? They flock together. It's amazing. We can come to a camp like this, and we have kids that are here for the first time. And you know what? Those kids are attracted to certain types of kids here at camp. There are some kids that come here, and they have some character about them, and they believe in living right, and they're trying to do right, and it's amazing who they link up with. They link up with the kids that are going the same direction. They've never met them before, but all of a sudden, there's a tie to them. We have kids here that come and they've got a hard heart. They really don't want anybody to tell them what to do. It's amazing who they link up with. They link up with the kids that have a hard heart and don't want anybody to tell them what to do. Birds of a feather flock together. You know, that's not just true in friendships, young men, but that's going to be true someday when you find a mate. You're going to get who you are. Now, that means I need to ask this question. What kind of person are you? Because what kind of person you are, listen, is the kind of person you're going to get. Well, there's some things I'm holding back from mom and dad. You're going to get a wife someday that's going to hold back things from you. You're going to get somebody that's deceitful. There's some things that I've cheated. I like to cheat. I like to be slippery and sly and sneaky and creep around and do things without anybody knowing. Yeah, you're going to get a wife someday that's going to cheat on you. Break your heart. What kind of person are you? You say, boy, Pastor Chris, I'm growing in my Christian life and I'm do things. I'm seeing God answer prayer. I've grown in my devotional life this year. You know what the type of person you're going to look for? You're going to look for somebody that's like that. You're going to get who you are. That's why it bothers me when I see young men that take no interest in services. That's why it bothers me when I talk to a young man and they have no interest in following the youth program at their church. Here, your youth pastor has set up a program in your church for you to grow in your faith, and maybe there's incentives and maybe there's things, books to read and articles to give out and devotions to have, and the teens are just too cool for all that. You know what you're telling me? I don't care the kind of person that I am, and therefore, when I get a mate someday, I'm going to get the same kind of person that doesn't give any care about spiritual things. Now, young men, listen to me. If you want to get the right kind of gal, you've got to be the right kind of man. In my home, I'm training my gals. You know what? I train my gals on what to look for in a young man and what to stay away from. The right gal is going to shy away from somebody that's rebellious, uninterested in spiritual things, sits like a bump on a log, won't get involved in any church ministry, disrespects his parents. The right kind of girl, you're never going to get close to her living that way. You're going to get what you are. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Turn over there in your Bibles. I want you to see this passage. Because I want you to see how important your spiritual life is to this particular decision. Your spiritual life is so important to this decision. And we see it in 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want you to start following along, reading with me as we read beginning in verse number 5. 2 Peter 1, verse number 5. Besides this, giving all diligence. That's an interesting phrase. Means to pour 100% into this. Means to really push myself hard in this area. So what, as a believer, am I supposed to push myself towards? Let's read on. It says, add to your faith virtue. The word virtue means moral excellence. We're to be adding that to our faith as young men. And to virtue, knowledge. Where do I get my knowledge from? The Bible. That's not hard to understand. And so I'm to be pushing myself hard in personal growth in these areas. First of all, moral excellence. I want to be known as a morally upright person in every area of my life. Then I want to push myself in Bible knowledge. Add to your virtue knowledge. Read on. And to knowledge, temperance. You know what temperance is? Self-control. It's discipline. These are the things that as a believer, you and I are to be pushing ourselves in. Read on. It says, and to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen closely, I want you to get this. The Bible is teaching us here that we're to be growing, and if we're growing as a Christian, we're going to produce fruit. Now read verse number 9, but he that lacketh these things is what? Blind. And cannot what? He cannot see afar off, and he hath forgotten that he'd been purged from his old sins. Can I make it very practical for you, young men? If you're not growing as a Christian when it comes to the time of life where you're to find a life partner, you know how you're going to find her spiritually? That one. And you know what I see in churches today? I see young men who are all about the business of trying to find a nice-looking girl, but not all about the business of adding to their faith. And the substitute is not good, because you know what? When you're looking for a girl without spiritual growth in your life, you're blind. You cannot see things afar off. Listen to me. You're going to get who you are. Now, there ought to be a commitment on some young men's part this morning to say, you know what? I am going to give diligence, more diligence, to spiritual growth in my area, in my life. I'm going to give less diligence to girls. I'm going to give more diligence to God. Give all diligence. Push yourself. Give 100% in that area. Man, you guys are on the ball field yesterday playing that tie-up game. You were given 110%. You were pushing yourselves to the max. That's what this passage is teaching. Push yourself to the max for God's sake, for personal growth in my Christian life. Push yourself to the max. Some of you are up this summer and you're sleeping until 9:30, 10 o'clock, have no schedule, have no plan for reading the Bible in your summer break, you're not pushing yourself whatsoever. You're coasting through the summer without any spiritual plans for growth, adding moral excellence and knowledge and self-control and discipline in your life, where you're getting up at a certain time and you're doing certain things and you're building these things into your schedule. Young men, when you find a mate someday, it's going to be a bad, bad scene. What kind of person are you? Does growth define you? Write this down. Don't look for the right one. Be the right one, and you'll get the right one. Do not look for the right one. Be the right one, and you will get the right one. You focus in these years, you focus on your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You focus on building that relationship on a daily basis, spending time with your personal God, the God of the Bible. You build that relationship. You work on that. You give diligence to that. You get in the Bible, you memorize some passages that are going to help you. My soul, I'm amazed that we have a scripture memory program in our church. You know how many boys said 9 verses this year? Less than 3. That's too much work. That takes too much time. My kids, since January 1st, have memorized the first 2 chapters of 1 John. Now, why is it we can do it as a junior, but we can't do it as a teenager? You know why? We don't want to give diligence to the important things of life. We've got our mind on everything else, giving diligence to video games and giving diligence to women, but we're not giving diligence to what God says. Mark it down, gentlemen. You're going to get the wrong one. I could walk through our youth group and I could tell you pretty much what kind of girl you'd get if you got her today. I could look at your devotions, your devotional booklet, and how often you're in the Bible, and I could tell you what kind of girl you're going to get. And I could tell you what kind of family you're going to have. Why? Because you get what you are. Number two, question number two. Write this down. What kind of wife will you look for? Now, the Bible is exciting because the Bible says, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor from the Lord. You know what? I hope every one of you guys are able to get married. I hope every one of you find a godly Christian gal. You know what? It's wonderful to be married. It is wonderful. The Bible says he obtaineth favor from the Lord. By the way, it didn't say whoso findeth a husband. God assumes that men find women, not that women find men. My soul, when it comes time where your parents have given you approval, and we'll talk about when you're going to find this person, when your parents have worked with you and said, hey, this is the time of life, you seek God, you stay in a right relationship with God, we're praying that God brings along the right person for you, my, you go after it. Don't you wait for her to flirt around with you, and don't you wait, does she like me? I hope she likes me. My soul, you get on it. You go after it. You talk to her daddy. You be a man. My soul, I'm hearing reports from Bible colleges where no guy has a gut to do anything anymore. You be a man. The girls that I dated in college, my soul, I went to their papa. I called their papa on the phone, and I talked to their papa, and then I went to the girl, and I talked to her eyeball to eyeball. I was after a mate that was godly and right, and I have some guts about you. Man. Be a man. So, what kind of wife will you look for? I want you to see 5 different women that are described in the Bible. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. From this particular point, you'll find 2 different girls that you should look for. 2 different girls that ought to catch your attention. And you're going to find 3 different girls that you better run from. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, I was listening to Pastor Armacost from Fairhaven a couple of weeks ago. He was preaching a series of messages on the last day's man out of 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to look at the verse because it's talking about the last days. Our theme is dealing with the last days, the last roundup. And the Bible says This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Is that a decent person to be around? Not really. We could read more on the description, but look at verse number 6. These men love themselves, and look at the fruit it bears in their lives. For of this sort are they which, what's the next word? Creep into houses. And lead captive, what's the next word? Gentlemen, what's the next word? Silly women, laden with what? Sins, led away with what? Diverse lust. What does creep mean? Would you say creep means? Or would you say creep means? Last day men, men that love themselves, creep into houses to lead silly, foolish women away with diverse lust. Pastor Chris, I'm not going into anybody's house. No, you're just chatting at midnight on internet with somebody. You say, Pastor Chris, I haven't kissed a girl or anything. No, you're just on Facebook talking garbage with some. Come on. You're creeping. Yeah. You know what kind of girl you're going to get? A foolish one. Right. You're going to get one that's laden with sins, the Bible says. Because you're creeping. Gentlemen, you can't play with fire and not get burned. You can't creep around and not get burned. Creeping is secrecy. Can I ask this question to you? All your friends at school, at church, on Facebook, all your girlfriends, because now, Brother Ramus, we have more girlfriends than we have guy friends. And we just check them, and they're fun to be around, and they kind of flirt with us. And have your parents approved all those? Let me ask you a question. Do your parents even know who they are? Or are you creeping? Mom and Dad's lights off yet in their room? Okay. Huh? Gentlemen, I'm trying to help you this morning. You're never going to get there unless you start right. Your starting point affects your ending point. And some of you got a real bad start right now, but you can change that start. You can trash that stuff. And if you'll trash that stuff, you can start right and get a good ending point. But if you continue down this creepy path, you're going to get a silly woman. And some of you have examples in your family. Some of you are from split homes. And you don't want that in your life down the road. Then don't be a creep. Don't function in secret with women. That's what the Bible's teaching us. Now, turn over in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 7. There's a second type of woman. What kind of woman are you going to get? What kind of wife are you going to get someday? Well, if you're living a life of secrecy, you're going to get a silly woman. Proverbs chapter 7 is a powerful passage. I want you to see the truth in Proverbs chapter 7 this morning. Proverbs chapter 7. Look at verse number 5. He's talking about wisdom. He says that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones. I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Now look at verse number 8. Passing through the street, what's the next word? Near. her corner. You know what that indicates to me? Young men that are simple have a tendency to follow women. The young man passed near her corner. You know why that's true? Because men like attention. We like attention. And so I'm going to pass near somebody that's going to give me attention, and especially if it's a girl, it's really nice. And he passed near her corner. Read on in this passage. I want you to consider the words. The Bible says, and he went the way to her house in the what? Twilight. In the what? In the evening. Read on. In the what? Black and dark night. Can I get real practical here? Some of you have computers, and you have them in your room, or you have televisions in your room. And you shut the lights off, and you turn on the television or the DVD player or the computer before you go to bed, and it's dark. That's a dangerous proposal. Gentlemen, I would encourage you to go to bed earlier and refuse to stay up late, because at night is when things happen. I guarantee you, you'll be less tempted in these areas that I'm talking about if you'll go to bed when mom and dad go to bed. You get on a different schedule in your life and you refuse the temptation to stay up late on your own and be in a room by yourself with any kind of media that you have access to that will destroy your thought life and your eyes and will someday ruin your life. This stuff happens in the dark. It happens at night. It happens when mom and dad aren't around. Read on. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot. Gentlemen, I'm amazed at what young men are attracted to. But the Bible teaches us this. He chose to meet a woman that was what? Had the what? Attire of a harlot. Do you think that that is modest, long and flowing, identifying with a lady? No. That means it's short and tight, and it's appealing to a man. Now, gentlemen, if you see a girl that dresses like that, that's a clear sign. That's like a red light going off that says, stay away from me. It's very clear. This is not hard. It's not rocket science. God didn't make it real difficult for us to understand. If she can't dress right, she's not right. That's as clear as it goes. That's exactly what the Bible teaches us. Now, read on. Read on. We're not done yet. I know it's getting hot in here, and maybe you're a little uncomfortable. But this is just pure scripture. We're just looking at the words of the Bible, and it's very clear. Read on. And what is she like? And subtle of heart. Now look at verse number 12. Verse number 11, she's loud and stubborn instead of meek and quiet. That's a drastic difference. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait where? At every corner. That means she's looking to be everywhere where you're at. If she can get you on the cell phone, and she can talk to you on the cell phone, she'll get to that corner. If she can get you on Facebook or on email, she'll get to that corner. If she can get you at a youth activity, she'll get you at that corner. She's at every corner. Everywhere that she can get in contact with you and influence you and pull you away and get your attention, she's there. She lies in wait at every corner. And you know what's happening today? Young men are falling for it all over the place. Right. Man, somebody wants to text me, and it's a girl. Somebody wants to talk to me on the cell phone. Man, I think I'm going to... I'll talk to you later tonight when mom and dad go to bed. Right. Facebook, send a private message. Come on, gentlemen. You know where I'm parking? Right where you're living. Right. I'm parking right where you're living. You want to get the right kind of woman, you got to be the right kind of man, and you got to know what you're looking for when it comes that time. There's a contentious woman. Proverbs 21:19 says, it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. What's a contentious person, Jonathan? If we said you're contentious, you cause a lot of contention. What am I saying? Okay, trouble, Somebody help expand on that. Somebody's contentious. Nathan? Strife. Okay, good, good. Argumentative. Okay? Somebody that's always trying to argue with you, never agrees with anything. Say, Pastor Chris, how do I discern that kind of woman? Watch how she talks to her daddy. You watch how she talks to her daddy. If she can't respond to her daddy, yes, sir, with a sweet spirit, you see a girl that goes, all right, Dad, I guess. Well, watch out. You're going to get that someday. Bible says you better dwell in a wilderness somewhere without any water, without any food. You'd be better to do that than have to live with one of those women all your life. What kind of woman are you going to get? Silly? Strange? Contentious? Or virtuous? Turn to Proverbs 31. Gentlemen, you may want to write this idea down in your Bible or in your notes. I would recommend that you make a day of the month, every month, that you read Proverbs 31. So that you know what a godly woman is like. Proverbs chapter 31, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. And I want you to see the next verse. She will do him good and not what? And how long is this going to last? All the days of his life. Young men, you want to have a marriage, you want to make life's second important decision right in life, you find Proverbs 31. She will do you good and not evil all the days of your life. Folks, young men, that's the kind of woman that you want. And can I say this? All the glitter is not all glory. Better look beyond the face paint. Better look in Proverbs 31 and understand what a Proverbs 31 woman is. Your heart can trust in her. She'll do you good and not evil all the days of your life. Now, my next question is this. Where will you find your wife? Say, Pastor Chris, I want to make a right decision. Where will you find her? You find her on the streets? Yeah, you'll find a strange woman there according to Proverbs 7. Pastor Chris, I'll find her at the movie theater. You'll find a certain type of woman there. It won't be Proverbs 31. Pastor Chris, there's this girl I really like. I'm going to go to the beach with her. You'll find a certain type of woman there. You won't find a Proverbs 31 woman there. We have some families in our church, and God's grace has been good to them. And they are Christians today. But you know where they found their mates? In the bar. You know what? They have scars in their lives. And they have come to me repetitively and said, boy, I wish I could tell your young men and young women about where to look for a mate. Some of you go to public school. You're going to find a girl in the public school? Your chances of finding a virtuous one are pretty slim. I'm trying to be helpful, and the only way I can be helpful is be gut honest this morning. Where are you going to find them? You say, I'm going to find them in the church. If you're in a good church, there's a good family, your percentages just went up. I'm going to find them at Bible college. Your percentages just went up of finding a virtuous woman. See, where you find them is important. Gentlemen, that's why we recommend at our church every young man go away to 1 year of Bible college. 1 year, it'll help you grow up. But you may end up finding a virtuous woman there. God may lead you to a virtuous woman in your life. That'd be wonderful. Where are you going to find them? Number four, how will you find her? Question number four. How will you find her? You'll find her, first of all, by guarding your heart from the wrong girl. Gentlemen, Satan knows what is appealing. And he has a wrong one. He has a silly, stubborn, strange, contentious woman for every one of you. I promise you that. They're a dime a dozen. That's why Proverbs says, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. That means she's rare. So, how are you going to find the right one? First, you're going to guard your heart from the wrong one. You've got to guard your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Obviously, you're going to stay away from unsaved girls. Two can't walk together except they be agreed. Obviously, you're going to stay away from girls that you've never met. Don't start some relationship online, gentlemen. You don't know that girl from Adam. Don't start there. You start with somebody that you know in God's timing that is godly and is walking with Jesus. Guard your heart. Number two, walk close to God. Write this reference down, Genesis 24:27. I being in the way, the Lord led me. That means that he was in the right way. He was doing on a daily basis what he was supposed to do. He was honoring his parents. He was coming under authority. He was walking with God. He was reading the scriptures. He was faithful to his church and in his ministry. And being in the way, God led him. You can't be wrong with God and find the right girl. You have to be right with God in order to find the right girl. I being in the way, the Lord led me. Walk close to God. That's the key, young men. That's the key. If you can get that, your relationship with God is the key to all of your other relationships in life. It's the key to your relationship with your parents. It's the key to your relationship with your pastor. It's the key to your relationship with your friends. It's every relationship in life. If you stay close to God, those relationships will be right. If you don't stay close with God, you'll see those relationships suffer. Walk close to God. Then pray for God's leading. Number three, pray for God's leading. You ought to be praying for your mate even now. One of the things you can put on your prayer list every day, God, someday, would you give me a virtuous woman for a wife? God, would you preserve her right now? Would you keep her purity? Would you help her to learn the things that she needs to learn to be a godly wife and mother someday? That's the kind of girl that I want, God. Would you please give me that kind of girl? Pray. The Bible says, in all thy ways, what? Acknowledge him, and what? He shall direct thy paths. Do you think this is a pretty important way? Gentlemen, do you think this is a pretty important decision? Yeah, it's a very important decision. Do you think it's worth acknowledging God in? Oh, yeah. God, I'm going to pray about this. This is important to me. Acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. He'll give you one. He'll give you a virtuous woman. Can I give you another one? Counsel with parents and pastors before beginning any relationship. Some of you need to make this commitment right here this morning. You haven't been in a relationship yet? You need to make this commitment. Counsel with parents and pastors before beginning any relationship. Now, we have some people in our church, and they're into weightlifting. Okay? They like to lift weights. And they like to lift weights so much, and they're so concerned that they really want to be fit, that they hire a fitness coach. They pay for them monthly. Okay? They pay this guy to tell them, this is the exercise I want you to do with this arm. It's going to build your outside muscle here. They pay somebody to tell them that. Because to them, fitness is really important. God's given you some coaches in your life that you don't have to pay for. They're called your parents, your most important coaches, and your pastor. Use your coaches. They're right there. I believe Brother Ferguson has a phone, don't you? It's available to use. It's available for one of your young men to call. You have an office? You mean one of your team boys could walk in your office and they could pick your brain and say, Pastor Jeff, I'm praying about this. Would you agree with me in prayer about this particular area of my life? I want a godly mate someday. Would you agree with me in prayer about that? Somebody comes home from college. You know what? they're interested in some gal. I've gotten phone calls from some of our young men. Pastor Chris, I just want you to pray about this individual, and maybe pastor could do some checking out. Could he call her pastor and find out what kind of gal she is? You know what they're doing? They're using their coaches. You know what's going to happen? They're going to get a right mate someday. Don't try to coach yourself. Lean not unto your own understanding, the Bible says. In all thy ways acknowledge them. Honor both sets of parents. Samson told his daddy, get her for me. He didn't honor his parents. And he lost his eyeballs. Because he didn't honor his parents. Now, gentlemen, let me teach you how to honor real quick here. I'm going to wrap up here in the next 5 minutes. When it comes the time of life for you to have a mate, you don't go to some girl on your own. That girl has an authority in her life called her daddy. And until she's married off, that's the authority in her life. And so if you're going to honor her daddy, that means you're going to consider him highly. You're going to go through her daddy. You're going to lift him up and you're going to say, he probably knows her pretty well. I think if he was my friend and he could help coach me through this, he might be a real big help to me. I'm going to go through the daddy. I'm going to ask permission from the daddy. You know where a lot of guys get in trouble? They start wrong in this area because they start with the girl, and then some jealous daddy like Pastor Chris says, whoa, 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 what do you think you're doing? Okay? You go through the daddy. You ask permission for the daddy. You want to take a girl out on a date at college? You want to get to know her? You talk to her daddy. Can I have permission? I'd like to get to know your girl. This is what I have in my mind. This is what I've prayed about. I've talked to my preacher. I've talked to my pastor. And I'm talking to you, sir. And I want to honor you in this relationship if you would allow this relationship. What are your desires, sir? You know what? You do it that way, you can't go wrong. You honor parents. Fathers, this isn't being taught today. It's obvious. Young men are flying blind. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to instruct you in a very important area, your second most important decision in your life. Maintain open communication with both sets of parents about your relationship. I called my wife's father one time, and I said, sir, Mr. Johnson, I really need you to help me understand something about your daughter. I said, I'm having a hard time here, and you've known your daughter all your life. I said, could you please help me? And I was in communication with him all the time throughout our relationship. The struggles that we had, I was seeking his advice and getting his wisdom. I was asking for him to pray with me about certain things. You know what? I still have a relationship with him today that's wonderful. You start with the daddy. You honor the parents. You communicate with your parents. Man, Mom and Dad, really pray about this. We had a rough discussion the other night. And we really need to get on the same page on this. Dad, how big a deal do you think this is? Consult Mom and Dad, I hope you're taking notes. Build your relationship with Christ at the center. You know where I met my wife? I met my wife in a church serving in a ministry with her. You know how our relationship grew? It grew in local church ministry, serving together. We were working with children in junior church, and we were working in master's club, and we were putting together banquets in this church together. That's how we learned each other. That's how we learned about each other. Gentlemen, you're from a good, solid church. You find a girl in a good, solid church or a Bible college, you ought to be able to serve with her and learn her through the local church and learn serving with her. Man, that's the greatest way. When will you find your wife, lastly? Bible says in Proverbs 24:27, prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. Let's paint the picture this morning. Let's paint the picture. Daniel Crager wants a brand new house. Just got married. Daniel says, honey, we're going to go out and build this house. She says, how big is it going to be? He says, it's going to be 5 bedrooms. We're going to have a full basement and a 3-car garage. Wow. Oh, I'm excited about that, honey. That's great. Honey, how are we going to pay for this? Well, we're going to build it, and then we're going to talk about how we're going to pay for it. No. The principle here is you prepare your field. You prepare the direction. You know the direction you're going before you get hooked up with some gal. Before you even start pursuing some gal. You prepare your work without, then build your house. Some of you start in relationships at 15, 16 years old. You have no idea where they're going. Comes up in a conversation somewhere, the girl says, "So what do you think you're going to do with your life?" "I don't know." No business. No business starting something that you're not prepared for. And you're going to start something and you're going to stir up normal desires, natural desires, but you're going to stir them up to where they're out of control, and you're going to get to 18 and 19 years old, have no work, still have no direction, and have desires now that are out of control, going to be hard to restrain yourself, and you're going to fall. That's why my personal recommendation is to parents and to young people, you don't date when you're in high school. It has nowhere to go. You don't know what you're doing. Your life in the next 6 or 7 years will change so many times. Prepare your work without, and then build your house. When will you find her? You ought to find her with your parents' blessing on timing. You ought to be in contact with your parents, asking your parents, say, "Pastor Chris, I don't have a dad in my home." Then you ought to seek your pastor. Say, "You know what? I'm going to talk to my pastor about that then." The timing is important. Gentlemen, some of you are in relationships you shouldn't be in. Right. Just being honest with you. Yeah. You ought to cut the relationships. They don't have any spiritual purpose. They're wasting your months and years for God. They're not helping you to remember the Creator in the days of your youth. And they need to go. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning.